The branch of Lake Como that turns south between two unbroken mountain chains, bordered by coves and inlets that echo the furrowed slopes, suddenly narrows to take the flow and shape of a river between a promontory on the right and a wide shoreline on the opposite side. The bridge that joins the two sides at this point seems to make this transformation even more visible to the eye and mark the spot where the lake ends and the Ada begins again, to reclaim the name lake where the shores, newly distant, allow the water to spread and slowly pool into fresh inlets and coves. Formed from the sediment of three large streams, the shoreline lies at the foot of two neighboring mountains, the first called San Martino, the second, in Lombard dialect, the Rezegone, the Big Saw, after the row of many small peaks that really do make it look like one. So clear is the resemblance that no one, provided they are directly facing it, from the northern walls of Milan, for example, could fail to immediately distinguish this summit from other mountains in that long and vast range with more obscure names and more common shapes. For a good stretch, the shore rises upward into a smooth, rolling slope. Then it breaks off into small hills and ravines, steep inclines and flat terraces, molded by the contours of the two mountains and the erosion of the waters. The water's edge, cut by the outlets of the streams, is almost all pebbles and stones. The rest is fields and vineyards dotted with towns, villages, and hamlets. Here and there a woods climbs up the side of the mountain. Lecco, the capital that lends its name to the province, stands at a short remove from the bridge, and is on and indeed partly inside the lake when the water rises. Nowadays, it is a large town well on its way to becoming a city. At the time of the events I am about to relate, this already good-sized village was also fortified, which conferred upon it the honor of a commander in residence and the benefit of a permanent garrison of Spanish soldiers who taught modesty to the girls and women of the town, gave an occasional tap on the back to a husband or father, and at summer's end, never failed to spread out into the vineyards to thin the grapes and relieve the peasants of the trouble of harvesting them. Roads and footpaths used to run, and still do, from town to town, from summit to shore, from hill to hill. Some are more or less steep, some are level. In places, they dip, sinking between two walls, and all you can see when you look up is a patch of sky and a mountaintop. In others, they climb to open embankments where the view encompasses a broader panorama, always rich, always new, depending on the vantage point and how much of the vast expanse can be seen, and on whether the landscape protrudes or recedes, stands out from or disappears into the horizon. One piece, then another, then a long stretch of that vast and varied mirror of water. Over here, the lake, terminating at the far end, or vanishing into a cluster, a procession of mountains, slowly growing wider between yet more mountains that unfold before the eyes, one by one, whose image alongside that of the towns by the lake is reflected upside down in the water. Over there, a bend in the river, then more lake, then river again, disappearing into a shiny ribbon curling between the mountains on either side, and slowly descending to vanish on the horizon.